Y'all listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast.
Yo, yo.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Y'all listen to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. Special guest today, Brother Sid. Man, we've been waiting so long for this, man. We've been, this is something me and you have talked about for probably well over a year now, brother. Glad we were finally able to pull it together. We will go ahead and open it with prayer. Brother Sid, you want to lead us in prayer?
Absolutely, my brother. All right. Well, Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the blood. I pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit just lead us this evening. I pray, Father God, that you loosen my tongue. May it be about you, not about me, but the glory that you've done in our lives, Father God. And we ask that you continue, Lord, to lead us, direct us, and just let us be humbled and surrendered, fully sold out warriors, Lord, for your kingdom. And we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in my brother Steven's life and with this Nasty Backpack Podcast. We pray that it's anointed and it reaches out to those people, Lord, that the world has turned their backs on. But you, Father God, are reaching out with your hand, Lord, to reach the things that the world calls foolishness. You're going to shame the wise with us, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Amen.
Man, that was beautiful, brother. Beautiful. All right, let's get to it, man. How you doing? How's everything, brother?
Oh, man, we're blessed. God is good. I'm just excited, man, about this new season. You know, God is just always doing new things. We go through seasons, and sometimes we don't really understand it. And we just know we just have to stay humble and just rooted in him. So I'm doing really well, man. I'm just finishing up this program. And once we come out of here, just get back to ministry and see what God's going to do with us.
Amen. Hallelujah. Right on, brother. So tell for our listeners, you know, like I said, me and you said we go way back. This is something we've been kind of talking about for some time. Go ahead and just tell us who you are and how your walk with Christ started.
All right. Well, so I grew up in Chandler, and then, you know, I grew up in the streets, come from a drug addict mother. My dad was from Mexico. So I kind of, it was during the 80s, the crack epidemic, and it was the 90s, early 90s, when it was just gang banging, and it was pretty rough. And I started going to jail. So I was like 13 years old, in and out of juvenile, went to juvenile prison, and then got back out. You know, I thought about going to the military. There was this brother in there that was telling me about the Lord when I was in Adobe. His name was Sinclair. He was a Marine, and got out, and I ended up getting shot like 2 months after I was out. And basically, bro, we just ended up falling back into the streets, into the game. And I ended up picking up a 21 years prison sentence for a case. And I went to the joint, and I'm in the joint just 13 years in, man. My mom was really struggling with, she got real sick. She got saved in 2000, I think, 4, she got saved, and she was always praying and telling me about Jesus every time I'd call home, and I wasn't even trying to hear it. I was just in the streets. We was, like, sold out for that life, for the game, and, yeah, man, she fell into a coma because of her hepatitis C, and I was getting really bad. I was bad on heroin in the penitentiary, and the penitentiary was changing for the worse. And, like, it was just becoming, like, it wasn't how I, when I first came down, it was becoming really watered down. And everything just came to a head, bro, and I just cried out to the Lord on my knees in 2015 and to bring my mother back. She was in a coma, and after 9 months, praise God, Jehovah Rapha, God healed my mom. She came out the coma, got another liver. She's still with us today. And yeah, man, I called out to God and I told him if he brought my mom back that I would try to change my ways, and I did. And you know, from that point, it was just I think a lot of us when we first come to the Lord, it's out of selfishness, and we're just crying out for us. It's all about I. And you know, and praise God, it took what it took. But I was very religious from like 15, 16, 17. And then I landed on this yard in prison, and there was some brothers that were just anointed, just walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was something that I was like, man, how, you know, I go to church, I'm reading my Bible, but how, you know, and it was because I was just religious. I wasn't really in an intimate relationship with the Lord. And then once I did that, brother, we just got to a point where I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember I cried out to God, and this is my life verse for everybody out there that I was just 20, it's Jeremiah 29:13. And I don't want to paraphrase it. Let me read it real quick. And this scripture really touches my heart. And I was sharing with Brother Stephen the other day, man, I was sharing you about what the Lord's been telling me about the heart. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he's been showing me lately about a hardened heart. And all God really, really, really wants is your whole heart. And that's what season I'm on right here. But I'm going to read you the scripture before I get a little too ahead. So it says, this Jeremiah 29:13. This is a New King James Version. And it says, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. So remember, I was already saved. I'd already been water baptized, and I already received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I didn't really know what I was doing. Well, I went to my cell one day, and I remember the exact day. It was July 7, 2017. I cried out to the Lord to say, hey, if you're really real, show me you're real. And the fire of God fell on me in my cell. I had like a Paul experience, bro. I was just consumed in his love, and just the fire of God fell on me. I was on my concrete floor on a max custody yard, just weeping, bro, and speaking in tongues. And from that point, man, it was supernatural. And just started operating, man, just moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ended up coming home at 20, and we've been out here, man. I would say I'm going to go work with CBI. I wanted to go back and go for the drug addicts and for the people that I could relate to, and just show them, because, I was a big heroin addict, man, from like 2012 to like 2015, from the time I surrendered my life, man. We was using heroin really heavy in prison, so that's just a little bit of my testimony as far as how God got a hold of me. I was doing a 21-year prison sentence, and he touched me in a supernatural way in 17. And then from that point, man, God was using me in there, just started doing Bible studies, just sharing my testimony to where even the Lord, man, was just use me on this yard to where I had favor, like a Joseph favor. The Lord just got, the warden would let me do whatever. She actually wrote me a letter of recommendation when I got out. There was a couple COs that the Lord let me use me to lead to God. And they just, the people had seen the transformation in my life. And that's what people out here ain't really understanding. You see people going to church a lot, and what I see is that there's really no change in their life, and it's because they're not in a relationship. You really have that Holy Spirit in you, and you're in an intimate relationship. The Bible talks about, you could tell by those people connected mind, because it would be the fruit in their life. So I'll just leave it with that right there. Just that's basically where I came from and how God got a hold of my heart.
That's amazing, man. Hallelujah. Whose fault do you think it is for people thinking that just because they go to church on Sunday that they're going to be saved?
What I see, I think a lot of it is just what the churches are nowadays. They're just I'm not saying all churches, but I remember one of the brother, a mighty man of God, he just recently passed away. It was Charles Stanley, man. And I remember I used to watch him when I'm in prison at In Touch Ministries. I still read his devotions. And he was a Baptist pastor, man, but he said it himself that 80% of the churches, like if the rapture was to happen today, that he believes, and this is a mighty man of God, a straight prophet, he served the Lord all of his days of his life, never had no black marks on his name, you know what I mean? He said that he only believes that 80% of the churches will continue to go if the rapture happens. So I believe it's what they're teaching now. Like, I believe that people are just going through the motions. They're not really in relationship. They try to come. They look beautiful on the outside, but their hearts are ugly on the inside. And that's why I say when the Holy Spirit comes in you and you're in relationship, it's just automatic, because he starts taking your heart of stone and make it into a heart of flesh. And then that's when you start, you get that revelation of his grace of like, wow, man, he came and he died for me when I was just the worst of the worst. And then it just becomes just a genuine, authentic relationship to where it's a privilege and it's an honor for me. I look forward to getting up every day to just spending time with my father and pressing in and submitting myself and filling up on the power of the Holy Spirit. And all we can do is pray. There's a lot of the church. And, you know, I came home and I went straight into church. And I just seen a lot of things that the church is like, you just got to pick and choose. Not everybody in the church is who they say they are, man. You know, and the church really at the end of the day is me and you right now, brother. It's just fellowship. Yeah. It's not going into the building. I believe the church is stuck in the buildings and the four walls. And it just becomes like a routine, a tradition, like a religion, bro. And I don't know. That's just for me. I just think that it's the way the church is like discipling. They're not really discipling. They're just like, yeah, confess Jesus is your savior. But really, you need to be discipled. You need to get under some men of God who have been more mature and start teaching you the word of God. Start teaching you about a disciplined prayer life. Because there's no relationship if you're not in communication with the King of Kings every day, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, a little while ago, I mean, you kind of talked off air about this, about, you know, when we are digging in the churches and we are, you know, there's so much stuff online, you know, different pastors preaching different work, different with a different message. And some pastors, you know, we really have to be careful on what we're reading, what we're watching, because even though they're talking about Christ, not every message that we're getting from some of these pastors is the truth. And when you're not getting that truth, you're really being set up for failure, because you're thinking you're living this holy life, but you're following this pastor that's leading you down a road of destruction. And it's not just you, but he's leading everybody that's following him down that road. And when I first started my journey, you know, me and you were talking off air about this. Michael Todd was a big influence in my life. You know, I was watching all his little shorts. I found him on TikTok. It started with TikTok is where I really found him at. And then I started digging into his full sermons. And it wasn't very long after I started watching his sermons that I started realizing this dude is not preaching the truth. You know, he's talking about how, you know, he's accepting certain things, certain sin from people, and it's okay, because he's okay with it, because we have such a loving God, and that could be more far from the truth than anything, because now you're gonna have all these kids thinking that, or all these people coming to you thinking that they're gonna follow you for that reason, thinking that their sin is okay. And really, in the eyes of the Lord, it's not gonna be okay, you know. And so we just gotta really be careful on what we're watching, man. I've seen churches that are, the pastors are homosexual, and I'm just like, how is this even possible? how we got fornication going on in the church, and this church is full with people, and I'm just like, wow, like they're really being set up for failure. And you know, the truth, and I tell everybody, you know, the church, that like you said a little while ago, the church is within us. We have to be the church. We're the temple. We're Amen. The temple. God lives in us, and so we have to, you know, we have to test everything that we're hearing out there to the Word of God. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And our Bibles have to be our main sword to everything that we are getting from our pastors, from online. And we really have to put it to the test, because if we don't put it to the test, then we could be walking down a dangerous road that we don't even, like, you know, Jesus is amazing. Jesus is everything. But Jesus also has that fire in his eyes, and he tells us exactly how we need to live to get into enter the kingdom, you know. And a perfect example, you know, I have right here Matthew 10:34-40. Jesus told us, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but come a on. Sword.
Amen.
For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be that they of his own household. Wow. He that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taking not his cross and followed after me wow. is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that received you received me, and that received me received him that sent me. And when I read that for the first time, I was like, whoa, like that's eye-opening right there. Like our Lord has exact rules on how we have to live. And if we're not living in those exact rules, we're not entering the kingdom. It's not just about going to church on Sunday. We have a loving God, but if we don't transform from our sin and repent, we're not entering that kingdom. And any pastor that says anything against that and says something different to that you can live in your sin and you'll make it to the kingdom because we have that loving God. We have a loving God who died for our sins and rose in 3 days for our salvation. But
hallelujah,
that sin is not going away. If we don't change that sin and transform from that sin, then we're choosing the flesh over our Lord. And that's just crazy to me. And our flesh, people don't realize our flesh naturally hates God. And we can't live in our flesh. Paul told us this in Romans. Because of a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, the spirit of God dwells in you. Not if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so we cannot be stuck in our flesh. And I think too many people in this world are stuck in their flesh where the road, the path to the straight and narrow that leads to the kingdom is not going to be many people on there if they're stuck in that flesh. They have to make those changes. And that's why the word of God is so important, because that's where that messaging comes from. It's not, and if your pastor is not preaching on these things, you're not going to get this message. You're not going to hear that message. And so the Bible should be the foundation to your life, along with prayer, along with everything else, church, you know, Bible study, prayer groups, missionary work, helping the homeless, helping those in need.
Serving,
yeah. Spreading the word. Like, it all goes together, and it's a lifestyle, and it's a lot more than just going to church on Sunday, but people miss that message. You know what I mean?
Amen. You know, the first thing I want to say is, so when I was being discipled, a brother discipled me, man, in prison, a mighty man of God named Brother Nate Morrow. And he taught me that, you know, all men are men. Sometimes when you see a sermon, sometimes it'll be the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it'll be that man. So you always have to remember the Bereans in the book of Acts. Whatever Paul would say, they would go back and they would study the word to make sure it lined up with whatever Paul was saying. That's what they called. A lot of people say, I'm a Berean of the word. And it was a town, Berea. And those men of God over there, they would go back and say, and this is Apostle Paul, but they would still go do the research and be like, all right, does this line up with what he's saying? Does it line up with the scripture? And that's one thing I always tell people, especially nowadays, man. There's a lot of false prophets out there. And I was just talking to my spiritual dad right now, my spiritual pops, Apostle Bob Pruler, man, a mighty man of God. I met him. He's coming into prison, come into there and preach to the prisoners in there, man. And he's 80 some years old now, man. And this man, one of the most anointed men of God, and he just got the same revelation. We go to 2 Timothy 3, and he was just the other day, I was in the car, and I like to listen to my music. Like, I'll put the Bible app on, and I'll let the word play when they're just speaking the word. Like, just listen to it, man. He was telling me that if you go to 2 Timothy 3, well, I was listening to it the other day, and it really just, like, the Holy Spirit just, like, was like, listen, listen. And, like, I called my wife, and I was like, babe, I was like, listen to this. You know, we've read it multiple times, but it's talking about our world is in these times right now, bro. And I'm just going to read it because it's very, very, if you see, I don't watch news, but this is exactly what's going on in our world. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says, this is what the word of God says, starting from verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Straight narcissistic world right now, bro. You can't count on even homies you grew up with, bro. Like, I remember my pastor Julie was preaching one day, like, you can't get nobody to RSVP for a birthday party no more, bro. Everybody just so busy, so about themselves. They see it in their phone, put it back down, keep it moving. Till, like, the day before, like, it's just different than back 20 years ago. Lovers of money. Man, that's all the world is. Like, you know, everybody I talk to, they're chasing money more than they're chasing the heart of Jesus. There's boasters, all self, just all about me. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. That's all people do is gossip. You know what I mean? Social media. People are hating this, that. That's all it is, social media nowadays. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Like, the world says what is bad is good now. What is good? Like, oh, church. Oh, you don't need church. You know, we do. We're self-made. You know what I mean? Traitors, headstrong, haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's all over here, bro. Everybody's just doing, they're lovers of the flesh right now, not lovers of God. Having a form, this is what I was about. What was that brother we were talking about earlier? Todd, what's his name? Michael Todd?
Michael Todd, yeah.
All right, so this scripture right here, basically, you know, and that's between him and God because he's a leader, and the Bible says they're going to be held more accountable if you're a teacher and you're a pastor. But straight worldly church right there, bro, and you have to be very discerning, and you always seek the Holy Spirit, even if it's like a brother that's discipling you. Whatever he's teaching you, you still ask the Holy Spirit for confirmation if this is what it is, and go back to the Word of God. Whatever they're teaching you, does it line up with the Word of God? But verse 5 says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So that chapter right there really spoke to me. And I just, like I said, my spiritual father earlier was just telling me, hey, man, these are the times. And we just really need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. He sent us a helper. That's what he said. I will send you a helper. And it'd be safe to say, and I always tell people this, and, you know, recently, you know, I was going through my own little challenges, but I was so convicted, bro. Like, if you don't have no conviction, then it'd be safe to say that you don't even have the Holy Spirit in you, bro. If you say you're a man of God or you're a woman of God and you're continuing to live in the flesh and sin, and you're not really even repenting or even asking for forgiveness, then it'd be safe to say, like, are you really, really saved? You know what I mean? And I don't mean to be, you know, I don't really know what every person's relationship is, but I know for me, and I'm speaking through my experience, I love the Lord. Like, I share with you guys, I had an encounter, a supernatural Paul experience whenever I sin, I feel convicted, bro. I'm like, why? I'm like, Lord, why? Forgive me, Lord. You know what I'm saying? And that's when you have, you're in touch with the helper, the Holy Spirit. And yeah, brother, you're 100% right, man. These churches nowadays, and I think that has a lot to do with it. And I'm not saying I go to an amazing church, Holy Spirit filled. And, you know, I go to Bethel Church in Chandler. Shout out to Pastor Mike Gowans, Pastor Julie Gowans, amazing people. They've been loving on me since I came home from the penitentiary. But, you know, a lot of people in the church don't really understand where I come from and brothers like you. But, you know, there's ministries. There's, you know, Victory Outreach. I walk with brothers from the Victory Outreach, my brother Antonio, brother Albert. And you just got to have men of God that are fully sold out warriors. And, you know, this recently, the Lord's been showing me and a couple other brothers that he's raising up the remnant. And if you guys don't, you know, Kingdom Music, Brian Trejo, a mighty man of God, he's every time he drops a record, I'm like, wow, like the Holy same spirit's in him that's inside me, because everything he's anointing, the Holy Spirit speaking at him on those tracks is what the Holy Spirit's showing me. And he has this one song in there called The Church Without No Walls. And like a lot of them, he's talking about, you know, the pastor's in there looking all nice in his suit, and they got the cloud, the glory clouds blowing, you know, the smoke. But hey, man, the people out there in the streets right now, this fentanyl epidemic, the homeless epidemic, man, like it's real out there. But the church kind of don't really care about that, man. And where Jesus ran around with the sinners. He used to eat with the sinners. He would go out there. Everyone he walked with was kind of like a misfit or people the church now they kind of shun away, you know. And it's sad because I believe, you know, the Lord showed me one day. It was when I was working over there with you, brother, when I was at CMS. I was in my car one day, and I give radical love, bro. And I was like, man, some people can't stand because I go so hard for Jesus. But I went hard forever. And whatever I do when I was in the streets, I went hard. And whatever we do, I go with all my heart. And the Lord showed me it's about, you know, the sinful woman when she was washing Jesus' feet. And the Pharisees like, oh, well, if he only knew who this woman was, you know, and Jesus called him out on it. Like, you know, hey, you haven't even given me no water since I came into your home, and this and that. And I'm paraphrasing. I think it's Luke. I'll look at it right now. But the Lord showed me. Praise God, he brought me out of some radical bondage, man. I'm talking about home invasions. I'm talking about we were the worst of the worst, you know, robberies and just violent stuff and drug dealing, destroying families. But you know what? God's grace, he came for me on a prison floor and pulled me out. And the Bible says, he tells him, to those who are forgiven more, they love more. To those who are forgiven little, they love little. So I believe God's raising up mighty men, mighty women of God, who come from those type of lifestyles, that type of bondage, because the church ain't really loving on people. And we give them that, let that love just flow through us abundantly, man, because we know how far he's brought us out of just our sin and just where we were stuck, you know?
No, absolutely. Yeah, forgiveness is huge, you know? Like I did an episode a couple weeks, maybe like a week or two ago on forgiveness, you know, on how a lot of people have issues with forgiving. You know, I know some of these people I love with all my heart, but I keep telling them, like, yo, if you have to be able to forgive, because our Father is not going to forgive you if you can't forgive them. You know, like, and it's so important to have that, you know. Like, it
can create a block. It can hinder your relationship with the Lord. And I've been through that with that bitterness. And you know, the Bible tells us to let no root of bitterness take place, because it really blocks your relationship with the Lord. There's no way you can grow with the Lord or anything if you have any unforgiveness or bitterness. And one of the favorite scriptures like we can go to is, remember, about the same measure that you give to others, like that you judge others, the same measure be given back to you. Watch, I'm going to look it up real quick. I love that scripture, because when I read that, it really spoke to me about, hold on, let me look it up right here.
I mean, it's crazy because it's in our Father, you know, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors, you know, and it's just, people forget that. And that's what happens when you don't pray every day. Like, you're going to miss some of the most important messages that are right there. I have one, Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses.
Amen.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Like it's there in scripture, guys. Like, we have to.
I don't mean to cut you off, brother. Here it is. I found it, that scripture I was just referring to. It's Matthew 7:1. It says, judge not that you not be judged. For with the judgment that you judge, you will be judged. And with that measure you use, it will be used back to you. Like, for me, I can't be judging nobody or doing anything, because that same measure is coming back to me, the word of God says. And hey, man, thank God You know, I always tell people I'm doing better than I deserve. If God don't throw another blessing, as long as I got my salvation, I'm good with that. And I'll continue to just serve and be in. It's an honor and a privilege, because I also know that when you do forgive, there's freedom in it for yourself, bro. Like just last week, I was on what was one of my brothers named Nikita. We were praying, man, and there was the Lord was showing us some things. He operates in the prophetic about, you know, there was some with my childhood, man, with my mom's. And so I called my mom's, me and my mom's, I love her to death. And we just kind of, we always bump heads just because of just my upbringing and stuff. And she's a woman of God. Like I said, she's the one who prayed for me. But, you know, you said that scripture that he came to turn sons against mothers and fathers. And that's what it really, really is, bro. To really fully be sold out for the Lord, you have to walk away from everything. I put Jesus before my wife, before my daughter, because really I have to do that, because he really, those are his daughters, and I have to be right with the Lord to be able to just have my cup filled up so I can pour it over my family. And yeah, man, I called my mom, bro, and it was powerful, bro. Like I called her and I was like, hey, mama. And we just talked for a bit, and I just apologized to her if there was anything I ever did. And she just told me, you know, she loved me, and that we had this little moment, man, and we prayed. I was praying in the spirit, and we were just weeping, brother. And from that point, now we're texting a little bit more. And there's freedom in forgiveness, man. There's really, really is. And when you release it, then that's where the breakthrough, that's where the anointings come, where you're like, you know what, you got all those little things in your heart that you were still holding on to, and you laid them at the cross. And then now God's like, oh, there you go. That's obedience right there. That's you're loving on people like I love you. Like he came and died for us when we were dead in our transgressions, bro. Like we don't even deserve, but he loved us that much. So let us pour it back out onto others. And yeah, man, I love that scripture. But that one I was telling you about, brother, about in Luke, it is it's Luke 7. And let's go ahead and jump into it. I love reading the word of God. Let me see right here. Let me see. It says this will start at Luke 7, verse 36. And this is the Holy Spirit. He showed me one day why I'm so hard, why I go so hard for the kingdom, why I love people. Some people, they'll be like, man, that dude don't stop talking about Jesus. Yeah, well, you know why? This is why right here. It says, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. You know, so that's us. We were the sinner in the cities, bro. We were the ones that were the worst of the worst. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And at that time, you know, this is a sinful woman. Fragrant oil was really, really expensive. Like, you know, you could probably get a lot of money for that stuff. And stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. So this is a sinful woman at Jesus's feet, and wiped them with her hair, with her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Like, you know, hey, man, feet were the dirtiest thing, bro. Back in those days, they wore sandals and they're smashing all around, walking miles all day. But this woman is just at his feet crying and wiping his feet, kissing his feet. Now, when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, and it's beautiful because he didn't even say it out loud. He just thinking this, but Jesus, you know, is God. He already knew what he was thinking. It says, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He called him out, bro, because he said under his voice.
Just
hearing his thoughts. Woo. And he's like, you know, and that goes back to what I was talking about the other day. They confess with their mouth, but their hearts are fully evil or so far from him, bro. Like, this is a Pharisee. This dude knows the whole scriptures, you know what I mean? The Torah inside out. Yeah, and it says, so he said, teacher, say it. He still identified him as a teacher after he said under his voice, oh, if he said he was a prophet, if he only knew. But now he wanted to call him teacher. Mm-hmm. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with them to which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Now tell me, therefore, which one of them would love more? So he gives them a simple practical thing. If dude owed you $500 or $50, and you forgave them both, which one is going to appreciate the debt more, right? Of course, the one owed 500. So Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with the fragrance of oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to those whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he told her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wow.
That's crazy, man. It's what's crazy is, you know, these Pharisees back then, like Isaiah told us about this. Isaiah told us who was going to, like, but yet when he came, they still denied him. They still didn't see it. They, you know, this is the living Messiah. He healed leopards. He healed people with that were paralyzed. He brought miracles from the dead.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And still at that time, man, they still didn't see it. It's crazy.
They were so full of pride, bro. Like they love that. They love just being known as like, we're the religious leaders. Like, look at us. It's all about us. And you know, it's easy to get caught up in that, bro. But really, it's all about Jesus. And that's one thing my brother Paco and me would always talk about. There's no unity in the church right now, bro. It's all about you know, brother Brian Trejo was saying that, like, now the church is just giving these titles out as pastors to people when they're not, that ain't even the gift. That's not even the anointing on them. They're just living, they like the name, and their lifestyles ain't matching up to it. So it's just really, really, really chaotic right now in the world. But it's even in the church right now, bro. We need to really be praying for the church. We need to really be praying for the pastors. We need to be praying for him to weed out, to sift the church, and to remove those false prophets, because they're misleading people down the wrong road into hell, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I know you mentioned your childhood several times. How important do you think it is for upbringing of a child to be in the house of God?
It's everything, bro. Like, you know, when me and my wife comes out of a family that was involved with witchcraft, and I come out of a family that was non-believing, both of us, and my wife got saved and she's super anointed, and I got saved, and now we have a beautiful baby girl that the Lord has gifted us with. And you know, it's the inheritance. We're breaking that generational curse, and like I always told you, bro, like, the Lord had to really do this for me, because I heard a brother giving his testimony too. When he first got saved, he was just so on fire for the Lord, going out there telling people the gospel. But at the end of the day, bro, your first ministry is your family. That's why God created man to be with the woman and to multiply, you know what I mean? And raise your children up to know the Lord. And at the end of the day, all we can do is show them who God is and tell them who their identity is. Cause nobody told me my identity, and I had to find it in a prison, man, and behind some prison walls. And through the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, man, one day, that I wasn't a gangster, that I wasn't a drug dealer, that I wasn't what the world says I am, a convict and a murderer, and all these labels that the world puts on you. Those are all lies from the devil, bro. At the end of the day, bro, you're a man of God. The Bible says in John 1:12 that for those of you that receive me, that gives you the right to be a child of God. As long as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that makes you a child of God. That's your true identity. And once you understand your identity, man, we got people out there that are in confusion, identity, believing they're a female when they're a man. And it's just a confusion. It's a demonic spirit that's a deception that's moving in our culture, in our world, with a spirit of like approval. Like, they have to be approved by people on social media and get these likes. But really, all that, it don't mean nothing. You're already approved in Jesus's eyes. Like, he died for your sins, bro. None of these people are going to die for your sins out here. I mean, die for you, period. Not even your, you know, I remember my homeboy, man, God bless him, man. He we used to call him Carachango, man, Mike in the joint, and he used to he was so big on the Book of John, man. But he used to always say, man, this is what I look at it. For all you homies out there in the neighborhood, and you think your homeboy's down with you, or your homie or whatever, you're down for the hood, your OG, how many of your OGs are going to die for you? Well, I got an OG named Jesus Christ that died for you already, that went to that cross and died for you and gave his life up. That's a real friend. The Bible talks about there's no greater friend than one that lays down his life for you. And once you understand that, bro, that all these people out here are going to let you down, but you have a king, you have a savior, you have a father that will never let you down. The Bible says he never leaves us, never forsakes us. And yeah, and he's already, the battle's won. He said on the cross, it is finished. So right now, the enemy just living on borrowed time, and that's why he's going so hard right now. He's trying to take as many souls away from the kingdom as he can. He's just moving his master, because his time is really short. He's done already. He's already been condemned to hell. He's on borrowed time. But, you know, for me, man, I'm just trying to surround myself with brothers that are on fire for the Lord and are fully sold out, and they're warriors. You know what I mean? Daily, they get up and they put on their armor, and it's not even about them. It's about, you know, just going out there and telling people the good news, man, and putting hands on them. Because a lot of this stuff, man, like people are on all these mental health. You see the epidemic with this mental health, and I worked in that field, and we see it all the time, huh, brother? You know what I mean? Some of these people, it's deeper than this medication. There's some spiritual bondage in there, some strongholds, some demons that got a hold of their soul, you know?
I come across a lot of folks, you know, when I'm doing counseling with them, and it's like, you know, some of these folks, they don't even believe in God. And I'm like, well, man, like, look at your situation. You're like, the one person that can get you out of this situation is God. And you're not even a believer. Like, you gotta, you know, you should definitely change that up, because God is going to be the ultimate healer. There ain't no medication on earth that's going to heal you. But our
devil's a liar, man. He's trying to cut us off, huh?
devil trying to cut us off, man.
Yeah. Amen.
But
go ahead.
But yeah, so, you know, me and my wife, we did a podcast the other day. We were talking about people that are wanting to come to Christ, people that are wanting to take those first steps, what advice would you give them to taking that first step, the first steps to come to Christ? Well, what should they do, and what's the do's and don'ts that they should do to get to those first steps?
Well, you know, the first thing comes to mind is you examine yourself, man. Like, you know, the Holy Spirit, It talks about an asset that the Holy Spirit's got to have your heart ready to receive. All we can do is, somebody has had to tell you about the gospel. And if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't heard it yet, and you're going through something in your life, like the world is temporary. The world ain't easy, especially right now at these times, financially, the economy, everything, bro, it's hard. But you know what? The Bible talks about that. Jesus came. He's the Prince of Peace, and he'll give you a peace even though you're going through the world. The world ain't going to change. We got to fight. We got to live day to day. We got to support our families. But you'll have this peace and this joy inside that the world can't give. Only the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can give you. And the gospel is, I don't know, some people, like, they haven't heard it. I didn't hear the gospel. I'd seen Jesus on the wall. I grew up in a, you know, my grandmother was Catholic, and I'd seen Jesus, but I didn't really know what it was. And the gospel is that Jesus Christ is God. He came to the earth in the incarnation as a man and lived among us for 33 years. And his ministry was only 3 years. He was just, you know, getting brought up. God was preparing him. But those 3 years, he showed us who God is. Who his heart is, that he's a God of love, of restoration, of healing, of peace, of love. All these characteristics. He walked among people, man. Died for our sins. He went to the cross and died for our sins. You understand what I'm saying? He was without sin, and he took our sin upon him. He was buried, and he resurrected from the dead 3 days later, as it was prophesied thousands of years earlier, that a Messiah would come and he would die for his sins and beat death. And that's what's so beautiful, man, is that Buddha, Muhammad, all these other false religions and false gods, and that's what they are. They are a false god because there's only one and true living God that can open that door for you to eternal life with the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing about it is that's what separates it. How, if you go see Buddha, he's in the grave. You go see Muhammad, he's in the grave. Jesus Christ, he's alive and active today through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit, and he dwells within us. He defeated death, the only God that defeated death. And that's what separates the gospel from all that other falseness. And he resurrected dead, walked around, as the Bible says, over 500 people seen him. This ain't no fairy tale. This is historical facts. People seen him walking. And that's what I say, what I have to say. And he descended to heaven, and he sits up there until he comes back to grab his people, man, and judge all those who didn't receive. So the times are short. What do you got to lose? That's what I say to you guys. If you, whether you're out there with a needle in your arm, whether you're that businessman that's making six figures in corporate America, let's be real, man. You still don't got peace. I don't care if you got all the houses in the world or whatever. You probably can't even trust your number one accountant next to you, you know, but Jesus, you can trust, you know, and the Bible says, trust in him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll set your path straight. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. My mom sent me that scripture for years in the penitentiary. And
I sent that to my dad several times because, you know, he has a hard time forgiving. And I'm like, you got to let go of those things. You got to, you know, that's when you hold on to when you're unforgiving, you curse your family. And I felt I felt like my family has been cursed, you know, like, and I'm ready to break them chains off and break those curses. You know, I have a lot of family out here and I don't even know, like, family I grew up with, I don't even know anymore because this unforgiving in our family that just kind of, you know, kept us apart. And it's like, yo, you know what? I'm ready to break those chains off. Like, Jesus is here. He led us to where we're at, and he tells us we have to have a forgiving heart. You know, if we can't forgive, then we can't be forgiven. And, you know, at the end of the day, Jesus died for our sins. He forgave us of our sins for us to be able to have eternal life. Wow. And so, you know, we're only blocking our own blessings. We're only blocking our own salvation when we are living in a place where we can't soften our hearts to people that have trespassed against us. And so it's definitely important to be able to have forgiveness in our hearts, because if you don't have that forgiveness in your heart, then you're not worthy of the kingdom. And Jesus told us that over and over and over, you know. And so I had to send it to my pops because I'm like, yo, you gotta let go of this. You gotta let go of this. And I think it's a huge sign. And I think this is the way, and I know it's the way God wants this. You know, he's bringing my parents into my house so that I can disciple to them even more and show them even more. And, you know, one thing my parents do, you know, they go to church and they're believers, but they do not open up they don't open up the scripture. And I feel like that's the most important part of coming to Christ, is opening up to scripture.
Well, you know, the Bible in the beginning was the Word, like you said earlier, you know, the Word is Jesus Christ and the Word is the Bible. So in order to know Jesus Christ, you can go to church all you want. You can say Jesus' name, but until you know him, and that's when you read the Word of God, you read this Bible, that's how you get to know him. And the Bible says, you know, it's alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And the words really, really do move, bro. I'm talking about, man, there was times where I'd be in the Word from just fasting and just getting into Word. They would literally illuminate off the paper and speak to my soul. You know what I mean? And just get them in the Word and just encourage people. You know, that's one thing what I want to leave with is what you asked earlier. And I can get going because I love the Lord, man. And is take a chance. What do you have to lose? Obviously, doing it on your own ain't working. you know, because I know I've tried it on my own, bro. You might have, like I said, everything. There's no peace. You're still broken. You're still searching. You're empty. And I know the living water that will feed your thirst, bro, the thirst spiritually, man. And just take a chance with the, reach out to Jesus and call upon his name. Confess with your mouth that he is Lord and Savior and believe in your heart. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10 that you shall be saved. And so that's what I encourage, man. I just hope at the end of the day, well, you know what, when we came together and what he's doing in our life, that well, this reaches whoever, wherever you're at, whether you listen to this podcast, like I said, you're on the streets or wherever you're at, but Jesus loves you. If he could take an old convicted gangster, murderer, whatever they want to call me, and turn me into a mighty man of God, then he can do the same. He ain't a picker of persons. He does the same for everybody. The Bible talks about he don't show no favoritism. He's just looking for people that are available and ready to surrender lives to him, bro. And
people forget he's here for the lost. He ain't here for the ones that are saved. He came here for the lost. Amen. Matthew 15:24. I'm not set but onto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Like, he's here for us that addicted to porn, addicted to lying, addicted to fornication, murder, everything you can think of, every sin you can think of will be saved. You'll be saved by just accepting Christ, accepting our Lord and Savior. So
here it is right here, brother, to touch on that. It's Mark chapter 2, verse 16. And the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and the sinners. They said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And, you know, right now I watched that movie the other day. It's an amazing movie. And it's about how, basically how the Calvary Church is called Jesus Revolution. And it was in the '70s, you know, when, the church didn't want to let the hippies in, man. They thought they were kind of like,
all drug addicts.
Yeah. And, well, you know what? I believe there's another revolution right now. And I see it. And, like I said, you know, the church 20 years ago, you didn't see people like Trejo and Seven and Nikki Gracious, these dudes that that come from the penitentiary, that come from the streets, that are mighty men of God, warriors, bro. And he's coming for those people, the lost ones. He's raising us up right now, bro, for the end time wars, because we're gangsters at heart, but now we're gangsters for the kingdom. You know what I mean? And that's just what I see, bro. And I'm excited, bro, for this new season. I'm excited to see these new things that the Lord's doing. And with the deliverance, the church shies away from it, man. People like us that come from the streets, we need deliverance, bro. We need to address those doors that were open to our generational curses and bind those demons up and cast them down in the name of Jesus. And
before you bless me, Lord.
Amen. Break me before you bless me, Lord. You know what I mean? Shout out to Brian Trejo, man.
Yeah, break me before you bless me, Lord. Yeah.
And that's what happens. You have to get broke. And you know, I'm here to tell you that I was watching this Navy SEAL. I got this brother that he did the whole 18 years with me, man. And you know, he gave his life to Christ because he's seen what God did in my life. He's known me since childhood, and he's like, "Wow, something happened to you, brother. Like, there's difference." And he used to be atheist. And now he's on fire for the Lord because we are the testimony. We walk it out. Well, sometimes it's less to talk and just be a reflection of Jesus. And that's something that a lot of people talk about it. But, hey, man, it don't line up. There ain't no fruit. Like, he's cussing 2 minutes later. You know what I mean? And the people are watching, bro, especially you men of God and you women of God out there. Reflect them. Reflect the kingdom wherever you go. I always pray that the Lord just lets me be saturated with this Holy Spirit and impact and influence wherever I go with the presence of God, with the Father's heart. And it's hard at times, man. You know, when people disrespect you or think you're soft, but you know what? You keep loving on them, bro. And they're like, "Wow,
just what would Jesus do?" And
yeah, man. Opposite of the world. Yep. Opposite of the world, bro. You got to be
absolutely,
you know, but yeah, man, I got to step back. I got something to do right now, my brother, but I just wanted to pray, you know, pray us out, or you want to go ahead and lead us at your podcast, my brother. I appreciate you.
You know what? What I'm going to start doing is every time I have a guest on, and I've been doing this of lately, mm-hmm. but every time I have a guest on, I'm gonna let the guest pray us in and pray us out, brother.
Oh, so, hallelujah.
Well, before you do that, I just want to let you know, brother, I love you. I thank you for coming on this podcast. This is going to be one of many. And Big Sid got some big things coming out in the future. I can see God doing some amazing things with his testimony. And God's going to bless you in big ways, brother. I see it. Definitely go ahead and pray us out, brother.
All right. Well, you know, first of all, just thank you, Brother Steven, man. I love you, bro. It's amazing to just sit back and watch what the Lord's doing in your life, man. And, you know, it's beautiful because I remember when the Lord was really getting a hold of my heart and I just was like, something's different, bro. Like, I felt like I didn't really understand what was happening, but there was a transformation going on in my heart and in the spirit realm. And it's beautiful to see him doing, working on your marriage and just blessing you with using you at your job, man. This man right here has a passion for what he works for, man. And in our field, you have to have a passion, and he's impacting men and women's lives every day. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep pressing in. And God's got amazing things for both of us, bro. The Bible says he's got plans for us to be prosperous and successful. And it doesn't always have to be in the world. It can be in the spirit, in your emotions, in your soul. You're prosperous and successful, at peace. But man, at the end of the day, I just want to just lead people to the Lord right now with just a prayer of salvation. If any of you guys out there are just broken right now and you heard this podcast and you're just tired, and you know, cast your burdens on him, man. His yoke is easy. And I just want to say, just repeat this prayer after me. You know, Father God, for I'm a sinner, for I have lived against the ways that you want me to live. And I believe, Father God, that you sent your one and only Son to this earth as the incarnation of you to die for my sins. You went to the grave and you resurrected from the dead. And if you believe that with all your heart and you repent from all your sins and accept him into your heart as your Lord and Savior of Jesus Christ, then you shall be saved. And I'll tell you this, it's the only way to live, man. It's a way of life where it ain't easy, but nothing in this world is easier. It's better to do life with Jesus than do it all alone, you know? And I thank you guys, and let's bless Nasty Backpack, my brother, man. We're gonna be going out there, man, and outreaching these people, brother. And we're gonna start bringing them and giving them Jesus, not just going out there and giving them a food and phone no more. We're gonna give them Jesus and bring them around to where they start getting fed and nourished spiritually. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Father God, I thank you, Lord. I pray blessings over our families. I pray blessings over every man and woman's ears that this podcast reaches. I pray, Father God, that they have a radical encounter with you, Lord, whether it's behind a trash can, whether it's in their car, whether it's wherever they hear this, Lord, for you came for them, Lord, and you love them, Lord, and you're there for them. When the world lets them down, Lord, you never let us down. And we thank you, Father God, for this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit lives and dwells within us, that we can be in direct contact with you through the Holy Spirit that talks to us, that we hear his voice, and just bless us, Lord. Cover our homes in the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Put a hedge of protection around all those men and women out there, Lord, that are just lost. And we bind up that spirit of addiction, that spirit of shame, that spirit of guilt. In the mighty name of Jesus, we tear it down, and we declare victory over their lives, and we declare healing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, there y'all have it first. Shout out to Big Sid. It's the Nasty Backpack Podcast. Love you all. Good night.
Glory to God. Jesus.
Glory to God.